Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in, everybody locked in, everybody listening all over North America. I don't care if you are in the United States of America. I don't care if you're in Canada. We appreciate you being here. We're getting ready for Game 1 of the World Series. We're minutes away from the first pitch in Toronto, Canada, as the Blue Jays host the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll keep you up to date on that game once it gets started. Hey, thank you so much. Speaking of starts, the NBA season is underway. We appreciate Sam Gordon for joining us from the San Francisco Chronicle. A big thank you to you for listening as well. We've talked about some NFL football. We got into the NBA, from gambling to the Warriors, the New York Giants. Yeah, their players got in trouble. Well, their coach got in trouble. Giants got fined. And Brian Daboll, running back Cam Scatterboo, both fined for kind of butting in the blue tent a couple of weeks ago as Jackson Dart was being evaluated. We got into Thursday Night Football as the Vikings went over. Well, they didn't win over. They got beat up by the Los Angeles Chargers. We talked about some of the NFL games that you want to watch this upcoming weekend. And then I'm going to tell you, unfortunately, about some of the additional players who are going to be out. We already discussed A.J. Brown out against the New York Giants. Yes, the Eagles are taking on the Giants again. A.J. Brown out with a hamstring issue. We got Pete Fuatek, who's going to join us in about 20 minutes to talk all things college football. The New York Jets, they don't want to talk about their quarterback situation. And Tom Izzo, he is not shy in talking about some of the changes absolutely necessary in college sports. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. We got a lot to do. You can always listen to this show on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. You want to call? You can do that too. 888-710-4ISN. You can find me online at JR Sport Brief. I'm in Atlanta. Our producer, Ryan Botcher, is in New York City. Botcher, as we get ready for the first pitch here from Treya Savage against the Dodgers, we just talked about whether or not the Star Spangled Banner was going to get booed in Toronto. And I think Fox did a job to help drown out any of the noise. It wasn't crazy. I think there were some boos there, but I think overall Fox said, let's kill the crowd noise.
Yeah, that I wouldn't be surprised if they just turned off the crowd mics for that and just kept the I would say that the singer's mic's on only because yeah. You don't want to create more tension than there needs to be.
All right. Yeah, you don't want that. You want it to be on baseball. I get it. It seemed that the crowd noise, you know, was not highlighted in the stadium. And then there was no introduction. It was one transition from the Star Spangled Banner over to O Canada. It went right into it. So there was pretty much no wiggle room for people to just kind of take their time and boo. One thing I did not hear, I don't even think that was an introduction of the Star Spangled Banner. If I I think, well, we were here on the air. I think they just started singing it. So whatever the case might be, we finally got some baseball. I actually learned the name of the Toronto Blue Jays mascot. Never knew his name or her name was Ace. Did you know the bird's name?
No. I thought it was just Blue Jay. That's
you thought
it.
The bird's name was just Blue Jay?
Yeah, like you go like Bluey, something like that. That's
Bluey? Yeah. Bluey is an Australian cartoon dog.
Yeah, I didn't know Bluey was a female, by the way.
That's yeah, I didn't know until a couple months ago myself.
Yeah, but either way, I thought they'd be, I don't know, what's it, Ace?
Yeah, the Blue Jay's name is Ace, yeah.
There's got to be a connection there, because there's no way it's just called Ace.
Number one on the pitching staff, I guess. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, that's probably the connection.
Well, who is it? The bird?
Yeah, well, it's just probably a baseball name. They're like, hey, what are these baseball terms we could use?
They could have been more creative. But what mascot got a good name? None of them, right? Nobody got a good name.
Mr. Met, the Philly fanatic.
Mr. Met? Well, they couldn't come up with something better than Mr. Met?
They did. They made Mrs. Met.
They gave him a wife.
Yes.
His wife is always hanging out with all the other mascots.
Yes. She is a well-known mascot.
Okay. Oh, that's what we call it now. Well-known.
Yes.
Okay. She's well-known in these mascot streets. Okay. Good for Mrs. Met. You ever seen her outside?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, that's also not. No. Yeah.
Outside the stadium, right?
Okay. Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah, doing community events? I bet she is. Okay. Anyway, we'll keep you up to date on Game 1 of the World Series. We're still getting ready for the first pitch. And we've gotten into a lot. Talked about the Warriors and what they may do this season. They've looked good so far to start the year. Thank you to Sam Gordon for joining us. We told you about some of the NFL games to watch. We got the Broncos and the Dallas Cowboys. We got the Steelers the Steelers are going to host the Packers. So Aaron Rodgers is going to face off against his former team. And then we got some other things. How about this? I forgot the guy. Is it his name is Franchise or what was his name? Bocci, you remember his name? He said he was the Franchise.
Franchise.
That guy who called from Baltimore like twice in a week.
Yeah, his name is Franchise. Yeah. It's spelled differently, but it's Franchise.
Francis.
Basically.
Yeah, and he's called for the past 2 weeks and he's just like, "Hey JR, you know Lamar Jackson is not practicing because this is some type of statement against head coach John Harbaugh." And I'm just like, man, why are you telling me about stuff that you read on Reddit? If he knows where to find Reddit. I'm like, let me know when it has some teeth to it. And the Baltimore Ravens, as bad as they've been this season, they're getting ready to take on the Chicago Bears. And, of course, everybody wants to see Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has been out. I don't think it's because he's trying to stage a mutiny against his head coach and John Harbaugh. And John Harbaugh has pretty much refused to give any updates on Lamar Jackson and his health. Well, apparently Lamar Jackson has finally started to practice again. And so maybe his goal in getting Harbaugh fired hasn't worked. But take a listen to John Harbaugh talk about Lamar and just the team overall. They've had a lot of injuries to their defensive backs as well.
We're going to talk about it as we go and figure out what we got to do to try to win the game. I mean, that's really what we're going to try to do. You know, what's our best opportunity to win the football game on Sunday? Where does everybody stand, including number 8, Lamar, and anybody else? And that's just how it goes. And you do your best. And really, you could, I'm sure, when we do talk about it at length, you know, but it's not really a public conversation. And we're going to try to put our best team out there and play our best.
John, when you watch him at practice, Is he moving and looking like Lamar?
Yeah, like I said, he practiced today fully, and that's what he did.
All right. Well, we'll see if he's out there against Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. They're going to be hosting the Chicago Bears. And let's also be real. If you're the Baltimore Ravens, you got a record of 1-5 right now. If Lamar Jackson is not healthy, if he cannot go out there, if he's just going to be a sitting duck, why put him out there? Roll out Cooper Rush to go out there and take the beating again. I mean, it's not all that necessary for Lamar to take abuse if he cannot move and if he's not healthy enough to go. You deal and screw up with a hammy, a leg injury, especially for a guy who's known to utilize his legs, that's just a bad look. So we'll see if Lamar Jackson plays. It may be one of those, game time decisions. Right here in Atlanta, Georgia, there's a lot of people, I don't want to say excited, but they are eager to see what the Falcons can do against the Miami Dolphins. I mean, the Falcons need to go out there and pick up a victory. But unfortunately, here in Atlanta, we learned earlier this week that Michael Penix Jr. is dealing with a bruise on the backside of his knee. And I can tell you, by having conversations here with people, they're like, man, we getting ready to play the Dolphins. If Penix is not healthy, then just throw out Kirk Cousins. That's still an easy victory. Listen to what Michael Penix had to say yesterday about his knee.
Yeah, I feel good right now. You know, obviously at the end of the game, you saw I did get up a little bit slow, but I've been feeling good and just continue to get better each and every day and, you know, just make sure I'm monitoring it the right way, but I do feel good.
You think you'll be able to play?
Yeah, that's the plan. Heck yeah.
America did not feel good having to watch the Falcons take on the 49ers on Sunday. That was ugly. That didn't make nobody feel good. Throw Kirk Cousins a bone, right? Just send him out there. Batra, did you – Tua said something else dumb. Did you hear what he said the other day?
Yeah, I saw. And I can't believe he keeps going out there and saying that Jalen – like he can't hit Jalen Waddle over the middle because he can't see over the offensive line.
It's too short, yeah.
Why? There's no reason this guy hasn't been pulled aside by the Dolphins.
So shut up.
Yes, that one and two, at least the media team, be like, you're literally digging a grave for yourself, and it keeps getting deeper every time you talk at the podium.
You don't think? Well, he apologized. What did he apologize for? For throwing his team under the bus. That was just last week or 2 weeks ago.
It was Cam Newton 2 weeks ago. Last week was he challenged leadership, saying the team didn't show up to anything and the leaders don't care. Yeah. Then he said he isn't a leader. And then now he's saying he can't see his receivers.
Now, don't forget, he told everybody a little more than a month ago that he's not half as good as Josh Allen. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa is a special NFL player. I don't know. Maybe he wakes up and says, I want to quit at the end of the season. I mean, to hear a quarterback say, hey, I don't throw him the ball because I can't see him. I'm not the tallest guy in the world. The next thing you know, Tua Tagovailoa is going to be telling everybody, oh, yeah, by the way, if you did not know, I don't have the strongest arm in the world. I'm not the fastest. Like, what is he doing here? I don't know. Tua is he's a special cat. And Brian Flores has tried to warn all of us. Speaking of quarterbacks, there's a quarterback that you will not see. And this bodes well for the Kansas City Chiefs as they try to pick up another victory. As you saw what they did against the Raiders, 31-0. Jaden Daniels out. Hamstring issue. Yeah, we have to see Marcus Mariota. Cliff Kingsbury, I guess he's so much of an offensive genius that he's going to have Marcus Mariota offset this, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's been tremendous, really. I think going back to last year, it was a tough spot this last week. We didn't play very good overall. We were down big. You know, he had one throw he'd like to have back, but just his command of the offense, the way he leads, the way he prepares, the way he's played in the games has been really good. So not much will change. We'll try to do stuff that he likes, specific to him, and try to tailor the game plan to that. But other than that, we'll just cut it loose and let it go.
Oh, come on now. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to have an opportunity to go 5-3 against Mariota and those Commanders. And if the Chiefs pick up that victory, and they should, they're going to be right there with the Chargers, who are 5-3. And then we talked about the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos are 5-2. But if the Dallas Cowboys go to Denver and light them up, then, man, we got four – excuse me. Nobody cares about the Raiders. But we got three teams in the AFC West that have the potential to end Sunday with a record of 5-3. Kansas City Chiefs are currently on a roll. Rashee Rice came back last week and automatically put up two TDs. There's another quarterback who's going to be out. There will be no Bryce Young against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, they were able to go out there and beat the New York Jets. I mean, everybody can beat the New York Jets. But Bryce Young is dealing with an ankle injury. And so that means we get Andy Dalton back. Andy Dalton throwing the football around. God bless him. This is what he had to say about playing on the Panthers. He's still around.
I think the talent that we have is a lot better. I think we're comfortable with what we're doing. I think, you know, we've
we've experienced a lot so far, and we can just kind of build off the momentum of where we're at right now. And so at this point, I'm just trying to keep this thing going. We're in a good spot, and we just got to keep playing like we can play.
All right. Okay. I mean, these are the Carolina Panthers. I guess if there's a positive thing, it looks like Bryce Young has continued to improve. Canales, at the same time, it looks like he's going to be there for the long run. And how about this? The Panthers, they are now, after beating the Jets, they're 4-3. Like, they're above 500, I believe, for the first time since 2019. Okay, the Panthers haven't been this good in their average since the pandemic. I mean, that's saying a whole hell of a lot. So, unfortunately, we got a bunch of QBs that are going to be out. Jaden Daniels is out. Bryce Young is out. And then, well, Tua Tagovailoa. He's playing, but Tua Tagovailoa, him and his brain, they are absolutely out to lunch. I don't know. They were talking about his injuries in college, his leg, his hamstring, size, durability. And maybe we should have just focused in on his brain then. And I think people did coming out of Alabama. It's working out for Tua. He got paid. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. We are going to take a break. We come back. Speaking of college, Tua should go back to Alabama. Maybe he'd help. We're going to have a conversation with Pete Fuatek. It's time to talk about all things college football, what we can expect this weekend, what we should pay attention to. We'll have that chat with Pete on the other side of the break. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we got the World Series Game 1 that just got started. The NBA, a lot of news in the NBA, some good and some bad. The NBA season is underway. We're in the midst, almost the middle of the NFL season. I can't believe that. And then we got college football that's still rolling around as well. We got teams jockeying and trying to set themselves up, even at this point, for their championship games and their conference. Teams are trying to get things together for the postseason, one of those 12 spots. We got coaches who have been fired. There's a lot going on. We got a big SEC weekend. And joining us right now to talk all things college football from collegefootballnews.com is Pete Fuatek. Pete, how are you, man?
What does it say about the world that you have? Yeah, I'm a sports guy, obviously. I'm on all day doing media stuff, looking at media stuff, looking everywhere. And you have one team in Los Angeles, one team in Toronto, which everyone forgets is like bigger than Chicago. These two massive markets, and I didn't know the World Series was starting until you just said it.
Oh, come on, Pete. Are you kidding me? Come on, Pete.
Where would I have heard it? Like, who is, ouch, like, if I don't watch SportsCenter, like, religiously.
Oh, boy.
And, like, I know the NBA's happening.
Ohtani? Come on, Pete, Ohtani?
I'm not dogging it. I'm like, I will watch. You know, I watch postseason. I enjoy postseason baseball. Like, but I guess, like, where, like, how, like, there's college football happening, there's NBA, there's celebrity Wheel of Fortune on, you know,
Wheel of Fortune
on.
Oh my god, hit Pete.
Yeah,
do you know what Ohtani did last week?
I'm aware. I'm a fan. I'm not saying I'm not dogging baseball. I enjoy I there's no reason to watch it until like the last month and a half or so that we've had. But it's playoff baseball is absolutely amazing. But literally, I'm not joking. I did not know it was going to happen. It was happening until just now. I don't know what's my feeds. I don't know what it is. But it just I'm the commentary on society. I know everything about the NBA gambling probes and stuff like that. Yeah, I didn't know that this was going on.
Well, baseball, I think we can also kind of put that in the space of baseball needs to do a better job out of marketing themselves, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I guess you throw it in our faces at all times. But I digress.
You do. Well, let's get to I told you, well, people are trying to get to their conference championships and people are trying to get into the college football playoff. I don't want to say let's get LSU out the way. But we saw them lose to Vanderbilt last weekend. They got Texas A&M tomorrow in prime time. You got people looking at Brian Kelly kind of rolling their eyes again down in Baton Rouge. If they lose tomorrow, what happens with Brian Kelly? Is he like a sitting duck at the end of the year?
Yeah, I mean, it's close. I mean, the thing about it, though, is, and this kind of always goes, and I'm not for the SEC, and I don't think the SEC is actually that amazing this year. It's very good. It's very even, but you don't really have the super of superpowers, right. Even though you're going to have there's going to be like five teams in the college football playoffs. So you're going to have 5, 10, and 2 teams or better. But not everyone can win in the SEC. Someone has to lose games. And it's not everyone can be 10-2 or 11-1, and someone's going to go 9-3. And if you're Brian Kelly at LSU, 9-3 isn't good enough. And that's, you know, for all the massive salaries these guys get, they're way overrated, they're way overpaid and all that, but you cannot lose. You know, it's any other walk of life or sport, you know, your NFL coach, all right, thinks you lost that game, okay, we're on to Cincinnati. If you lose in college football and you're a massive coach at a massive school, you're automatically up. You know, he's on the hot seat. I mean, think about it. James Franklin went from one bad pass and or a fourth down stop against Oregon away from maybe probably having the number one team in the country to fired like two weeks later, just because their team couldn't come up with if they came up with a fourth down stop in any of those three games. He is still the head coach there now. He didn't, and now he's gone.
Well, Pete, you're talking about coaches who got the boot. Billy Napier got fired himself. Who do you think is going to stand in there next in line for the Gators?
Everyone kind of assumes it's Lane Kiffin. The weird part about this firing was that they just beat Mississippi State. They just beat Texas a couple weeks ago. They have a murderer's row coming up to finish the season. But the timing of it's a little weird where, okay, you know, if you're Penn State and you lose to UCLA and Northwestern in back-to-back weeks before everyone realized that UCLA and Northwestern are actually good, okay, yeah, that's something. It's, you know, the trending downward. You want to make a change. But, again, they just won. They won an SEC game over a team that might probably go bowling. You know, it's not like beating Alabama, but, okay, it's a W, and then they fire him. So you don't do that. Unless you have someone in mind, because the one thing you don't want to have happen, like if you have the powers that be behind the scenes and they're saying, okay, well, we're kind of making back channel talks. It's like, I'm just throwing out Lane Kiffin here because he's a hot name. If you have a guy that you know you want, well, what can screw that up? Well, what happens 2 weeks from now if Florida and that defense beats Georgia, which it absolutely could do, then what do you do? You can't really fire Billy Napier if he just beat Georgia and they won 3 of their last 4 games. So, it looks like they wanted to make that change, and this seems like the time to do it.
Hey, Pete, don't put that in the atmosphere for the Bulldogs, okay? We don't need that energy around these parts, okay?
If I could have that power, I would.
Yeah, well, I wish. Well, thank you. Hey, you know, speaking of Lane, he's going to be busy in the early game. We got Ole Miss taking on Oklahoma. Oklahoma and Mateer at least bouncing back against the Gamecocks after throwing those 3 interceptions against Texas when he came back from that broken hand. What should we expect tomorrow between Ole Miss and Oklahoma? This is gonna really bear some fruit, not just for the conference championship, but maybe even the playoff.
Yeah, the whole picking games thing, I hate this game because this is more like picking an NFL game. This is more like one of those any given Saturday games where usually in college football, the line is 13.5, and you can kind of maneuver it a little and you think, okay, well, maybe this team has a chance, blah, blah, blah. This really is a toss-up because Oklahoma has not really beaten anyone great except Michigan. I mean, and even then they weren't that impressive, but, you know, give them credit. They beat Michigan handily. That was about it. I mean, beating Auburn, beating South Carolina, just not that great. And so this is one of those moments where you look at the rest of this schedule, you know, go down the list for Oklahoma. This is probably the hardest final five games I've ever seen a team have to play.
Yeah.
I mean, you name the team in the SEC, and they got to play them over these last five games. So if they lose this, it's over. Their season's over, even though they only have one loss already, because they're not getting through the gauntlet of November clean. So if they win it, they're still alive. And then on the flip side, look at the Ole Miss schedule. If they win this, it's going to take something funky for them not to be 11-1. So this is one of those big games that is going to probably dictate the season for both of them. With all that, you know, blah, 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 as I kind of, you know, filler here just to get to the point where I'm not exactly sold. I kind of think Oklahoma wins this close, but it is a true toss-up.
Yeah, we got another matchup that's going to be a close one. We got Missouri taking on Vanderbilt. We talked about what Vanderbilt did to LSU last weekend. What are your thoughts on both of these teams? Not necessarily the game, but their ability to actually do some damage later on in the year. Vanderbilt may actually make the playoff.
They're not going to do that because they're gonna have a couple losses coming their way, but they're not going to be like, it's not crazy to think that they could, because it's a very easy concept. Like sometimes, you know, football, when you break it absolutely down after all the other junk that everyone likes to gab about, just keep the chains moving. And Vanderbilt has been able to break this down to the most basic elements. Just, you know, keep going forward, set yourself up for manageable third down plays, and let your, you know, Diego Pavia quarterback, you know, who's been around for 12 years and makes every right decision, just let him, you know, run for the first down. You know, you're not going for the big giant plays. You're just keeping things moving. Just, you know, matriculate the ball down the field, is, you know, or something like that. Just, it works. It's a very basic blocking, tackling, don't make mistakes, and keep the, you know, the chains moving. And Vanderbilt does that so well. Missouri's fine. They're away from home again for only the second time this year. I do think Vanderbilt is just sound enough to pull this off, and Pavia is having one of those seasons. They are going to lose again probably two more times, but I do think they get Mizzou tomorrow.
Well, let me ask you this, Pete. And Pete Fuatek is here with us from the collegefootballnews.com. What are some other matchups or any other players that we should take note of tomorrow?
Yeah, you kind of the Oklahoma game is the big one to watch for. Honestly, I really want to see what UCLA does against Indiana. I mean, because they are – it's crazy. I wrote a column on this week. It's not going to happen. But what if they beat Indiana? You know, if you look at the rest of the UCLA schedule, again, not going to happen. But they play at Indiana, they play at Ohio State, and they play at USC. If they were to run the table – even if they don't, first of all, they'd go to the Big Ten championship. But then, let's say they lose that, even at 8-4, at that point they'd be 8-5. You'd still have to say, yeah, they kind of should be in the college football playoff only because they just beat the 1-2 teams on the road. So I just kind of want to see just how for real this UCLA thing is. And Indiana, okay, yeah, you're still Indiana, but you're the number two team in the country. Let's see what you can do with this and see how well you can rise up and rock against this team.
You mean to tell me all UCLA had to do was fire Deshaun Foster? Is that all they had to do?
Well, and that goes to the other game that I'm kind of curious about. It's kind of been lost in the shuffle here that they fired him, but they lost the next week to Northwestern. In kind of the same way everyone's like, oh, it's Vanderbilt, that one. I'm kind of like that, too. I live, you know, 15 miles away from, you know, the campus of Evanston, Northwestern. Like, so I'm familiar with it. And I'm still like, nah, this team's not very good. But they actually are pretty good. And tomorrow, they get a Nebraska team where they did not look good against Minnesota last week. And if Northwestern wins this game against Nebraska, all of a sudden, they're having one of those seasons where it's like, you know what, they did beat UCLA. Penn State didn't. They did sort of get on a little bit of a winning streak here. And the two times that they lost, one was Ohio State, one was to Tulane early on. So I really kind of want to see what Northwestern's able to do tomorrow.
Wow. All right, well, let's see. Maybe Matt Rhule will run out to Pennsylvania if he takes that out. We'll see.
Yes, that's watch out, because Penn State fans, they're assuming that they're going to get someone massive. They all big fan bases, they're assuming, oh, we'll just get a Harbaugh. Or why wouldn't Mike Tomlin want to come over and coach at Penn State? Why, we can get anybody we want. And then if they get like Manny Diaz or Matt Rhule, it's like, ugh, that's just not going to do it for them.
Well, Pete, final question for you. I mean, we get Nick Saban. His name gets thrown around. Him and his wife are making jokes. They then say, now don't expect it. He's old. He ain't coming back for this nonsense. Why does his name keep getting bandied about? Are people really taking this serious?
Because if you're a college football coach, you really have, that's what you do. I mean, he's great in the media side of things. He's got his face in the world. But if you're a football coach, that's how you live. That's air to you. And so these guys just can never give up the life.
Hmm.
I'm not going to say that Saban would be Belichick, but part of the problem is being old. You'd have to assume that he'd be able to coach right away and get the transfers to come in, because you're not on a 5-year track with a Nick Saban if he were to come in. Certainly, if you're Penn State and if Nick Saban even showed even the slightest bit of interest, kind of like North Carolina when the greatest football coach of all time says he's interested in your program. Yeah, how do you not say no to Bill Belichick? How do you not say no to Nick Saban? But look, I'm not going to be an ageist here or anything like this, but I think you want to go a little bit younger.
Yeah. Okay. But you're not closing the door on Saban being back. I think he's sick of dealing with NIL and.
Oh, NIL with this guy. He's making Dr. Pepper, all these commercials all over the place. This guy gets NIL better than anyone. Don't fall for his, old school, things have changed, what are you going to do, blah, blah, blah. That dude got it better than anybody when it came to the whole NIL world.
Oh, well, let's see if he comes back. I think he's going to sit around and count his Dr. Pepper and TV money. We'll see, Pete. Hey, tell everybody where they can follow you and check out collegefootballnews.com, even though I just said it. Fill us in, Pete. Go ahead.
Please go ahead. You can say it all you want. Yeah, collegefootballnews.com, where all the picks and predictions were going up, and the one thing we are missing apparently is World Series updates, but I will turn it on now because I'm glad you mentioned it, because it would have been like the fifth inning, and I would have figured, oh, man, I missed it.
Well, listen, Pete, I mean, we got some bases loaded with the Blue Jays here, so things are looking pretty good for now, unless
right,
you're a Dodgers
go.
Fan.
Yeah, let's go. All gonna... right. Have some fun.
All right, Pete. Look forward. Always a great chat with you, Pete. We'll catch you soon, okay?
Have a good one.
No doubt about it. Shout-outs to Pete Fuatek. Covers all things college football, collegefootballnews.com. He's not closing the door on Nick Saban possibly coming back. I think he really is. Yeah, he's a college football coach, but I think he'd be sick of these kids, man. And, yeah, he could probably pop in and pop out, get what he wants. And speaking of pop anything, yeah, we got Blake Snell just had to throw like 25, 26, 27 pitches to get out of the first inning with the bases loaded. Hopefully for him, that's the toughest inning he has. The Dodgers are now going to have to think about where they're going to get some pitches to kind of go ahead and complete this game. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We just heard from Pete Fuatek talking about how, you know, maybe Nick Saban still might come back. I'm not so sure about that. I can tell you one guy, he sounds like he's ready to walk out the door. He can't stand what's going on in college sports right now. That's Tom Izzo. He has some thoughts about something that really, really grinded his gears. I'll tell you what that is on the other side of the break. But right now it is time for a news flash. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and their team.
telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to Pete Fuatek for joining us from collegefootballnews.com. To talk about not just the World Series, but of course college football. And how about this? The Dodgers just put a run up on the board. Kike Hernandez singles and a run here in the second inning, and the Dodgers are already on the board, putting up the first run against your Savage. Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, after they put Blake Snell through all that mess, loading the bases up in the first inning, the Dodgers come back and say, hey, we don't need to do any of that, as Kike Hernandez drives in. Hernandez, who's actually was that Teoscar who's just scored?
Yes. He started with the Blue Jays, so it's a homecoming.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah. So he's taking on his former team there. Wow. And then we got your Savage, who's also already here in the top of the second. He has already thrown 30 pitches. He has one out and two guys. Oh, a guy on first and second that he needs to account for. Bacha, this does not look good. If I got to kind of roll the dice here as to, you know, who's going to hold on and do anything here, I feel more confident in Blake Snell kind of holding on for the rest of this game. Only thing that could doom the Dodgers is if they really have to go into that bullpen.
It's also very early. I can't react to anything within two innings unless there's, I guess, say four runs given up. And it seems that Savage is still having swing and missed pitches. So I think it's just, you know, sometimes you get unlucky, a leadoff walk, and then a single through the middle. It's not the end of the world for him. It just can't settle down.
I mean, the fact that he's going to get out of this inning, and unless he gets a gift, he's probably going to throw 40 pitches. What did you just say?
Yeah, no, 40 would be even kind for that. But
at 33. He's going to throw his 34th pitch right now.
Yeah, but I don't think they care about how many pitches he throws. I think they just want to limit the damage and just try to get to the fifth inning. If you can get to five, you've had a little bit of rest.
Bruh.
The bases are
loaded again. The fact is, yeah, it is pitch count, and it is limit the damage, because the less pitches that he can eat up, obviously it equates to innings. And the more dudes that you just got to throw out there to just kind of patch the game up, it's going to do one of two things. Either the Dodgers just is going to go, oh, my God, we got a different arm every other inning. Or it's going to be, oh, man, we got new dudes that are beat up on every other inning. And so it's not. This is a second inning with the bases loaded again. Like, who wants to do a bullpen game? Nobody. Watch Blake Snell just retire the next bunch of guys on, like three pitches. He's going to do nothing here, man. I don't know. Not looking good for the Jays. What are the fans doing? Are they all sitting on their backsides right now, huh?
I would. I'd be stressing. If anything, I'd be hands over face and shaking in my boots.
Yeah, why is the umpire? He's doing too much over there, sweeping that dirt. Now the bases are loaded, and Shohei Ohtani might get an at bat to start things off here. Let's see what Paez does. I don't know. And you know, the cool thing about there, one reason I do want to go see the Blue Jays, and I haven't even seen the Raptors. I've been up to Toronto, and I've seen the All-Star game they had up there. I don't know what year it was, a long time ago. I don't know, 2017, 15, 16, whatever the case might be. They got that hotel that's connected in the outfield. You've seen that, right?
Oh, I have. But have I seen the prices too? Yes. And it's,
oh, crap.
It's a lot.
Well, if what's the cost of it versus a ticket? Are we talking about $600 a night?
Well, way more, because it's a suite. So I think that the price for one, the room, and it's a maximum guest of four, I'm pretty sure. So
you got to have a party in there.
You can't have more than four people in there. It's hotel mandatory.
Okay.
So I think the hotel rates for the World Series was $7,000 for one night.
Oh crap! I wasn't talking about the World Series, but damn.
Well, I still think it's like $1,000
a night.
I think
all things considered, I mean, if you got four people in a suite and you just do a night instead of buying a ticket, is it only one room?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of rooms that you can watch from, but I think there's two beds, so two twins, and you have the little balcony and window you can watch the game from.
What type of suite is that with two twin beds?
I don't know. There might be a king bed. I don't know. But all I know is from what I've seen from video, it doesn't look like it's worth the price, especially because you can't really see center field because you can't look down.
Oh. It's still fun, I guess. I mean, how many hotels can you stay in and watch a game from, you know?
A couple. There's one in Baltimore you can get glimpses.
What, on Utah Street? Like, what are we talking about here?
No, the other side. I think you get a little bit there. There's not many. There's like the across the street and by Wrigley, right? Isn't that one of the things?
Yeah, they started pimping that out to businesses where you could put the seats on the roof and stuff and have those clubs.
See, that there can be opportunities to get seats outside the stadiums, but then how long does it take for the stadium and the team to start knocking at your door for money?
Oh, well, I mean, that's kind of what the Cubs did. They started going, you know, well, let's build things higher. I don't know if they now own that inventory across the street, but that was certainly unique. Anyway, but we're not in Toronto. We are watching from our respective screens. Botcher in New York, myself here in Atlanta, as Shohei Ohtani now steps to the plate with the bases loaded here in the second inning. The Dodgers lead Toronto 1-0 in game one of the World Series. You know, one thing that Pete Fuitak said is that he's not closing the door on Nick Saban just returning to coaching college football, and he's right. It would be a one-hitter quitter. He would show up, he would bring in all the recruits that he would want, and he would try to make a big swing if the ecosystem wasn't already there. And I just mentioned how the system is all screwed up in college. Why would Nick Saban want to come back to it? And then, ironically, we had Tom Izzo still coaching at Michigan State. Tom Izzo spoke this week. He's not happy with the NCAA. He says that the rules of amateurism and NIL are just backwards. The NCAA hasn't regulated anything because we got a G League guy who's now eligible to come back to college. And Tom Izzo said, this is screwing up players who are just coming from high school if we're now letting guys from the G League into college. It's all screwed up. Listen to what Tom Izzo said this week.
I'm going to get myself in trouble, but I listen to people talk about how kids changed. Kids aren't the problem. We're the problem. This was sprung on us again yesterday, where a guy can be in the G League for 2 or 3 years, and then all of a sudden he's eligible. Most of my people knew nothing about it. I don't think our commissioner. I am not real excited about the NCAA or whoever's making these decisions without talking to us, just letting it go because they're afraid they're going to get sued. And so don't blame the players anymore. Blame the adults that make the decisions that allow some of these ridiculous things to happen.
No, he ain't lying. You heard him. He was still going to continue on. We don't got all the time to listen to Tom Izzo. He's not lying. The NCAA was like, oh, these guys can make money now? The government says that we have to allow them to make money? The NCAA said, all right, y'all figure it out. We gone. Okay? They had no interest in sticking around to kind of figure things. Mark Emmert, who was the former president of the NCAA, the minute that things changed, he says, I'm out of here. You figure it out. Now we got Charlie Baker, a politician, who's now kind of leading the way. It is the Wild Wild West. And the fact that you can have a guy from the G League who was getting paid, he can now do, I guess, a lateral move into college? Like this, that wouldn't have been permissible in the past. Guy's an amateur. He's a pro. And Tom Izzo was making jokes about bringing back NBA players into the program. He's like, why the hell not? Yeah, college sports is it's a big old mess, but we knew that. Everybody got to make the money. How about that? Your Savage just got out of another bases-loaded jam. He's been extremely stressed here just within the first two innings, but the Dodgers do get a run. The Dodgers lead game one of the World Series 1-0 here against the Jays. The Jays are coming up in the bottom of the second. They'll try to get some runs on the board themselves. We'll keep you up to date on the game as it continues on. Talk some more football. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. We're not going anywhere. We're going to keep things busy. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast, the Infinity Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.